The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside and issue number 112, AWA's Bite Size, and you'll get to hear how we came up with that name. We actually worked it out again this week on the show, and we had a lot of fun this week, a lot of good news to get to. Of course, we have the big WB dropping everything day and date through 2021. We discussed that, but we do have three really good books this week and check out that I enjoyed all three. John enjoyed all three, some more than others. So we'll get to that discussion, and stick around. We have spoilers if you're interested. Spoilers, spoiler talk at Kryptonite Key Club at the end of the show. So we'll be talking Mandalorian, lots of Mandalorian, probably for the next couple of weeks. But we're in this week, so let's get into the store. Come on, John. You don't want to sing along?
No.
I thought for sure I would have heard you with the jingle bell. Come on.
I was setting my microphone as default on Squadcast. I figured out how to do that.
Oh, you. Like multitasking.
I know.
Multitasking.
Not, I was bopping my head.
I saw you bopping your head, but I saw your eyes going and you weren't really paying attention, but you were bopping your head. You're jamming out to the tunes. And quick bit of trivia. What Christmas movie was that in?
A Lethal Weapon?
There you go. Look at you.
Which is not a Christmas movie.
Well, then you shouldn't have answered it. But you just did, so there you go. It's a Christmas movie to me, although yet I haven't watched it yet this year.
Yeah, so in the beginning of the movie, they play Jingle Bell Rock, and the girl takes a swan dive off of a high rise, and that's a Christmas movie.
Well, he was also buying drugs at a Christmas tree lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
At the end of the whole thing with the Christmas, you know, in the front lawn, and they drove through the Christmas tree, you know, in the house. So, I mean, there was quite a festive mood throughout that movie.
It just happens to take place around Christmas time.
Right. Leave the part out where they're in the middle of the desert and sniping people.
Right.
I mean, that's not really Christmassy. But yet, it is still, it did have a nice Christmas vibe to it.
It did.
It was fun. It's fun. I love that movie. Love that movie.
Oh, I do too. Yeah, I do too.
But we're kind of burying the lead here, John.
We are.
Yeah. There's a new addition to the Brightside family.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Do you want... What's the name? It's got to be something creative. Is it a boy or a girl? I don't know. All I know is you got a puppy.
Well, what's the name is Harley, so...
Oh.
I'll let you guess the gender.
if it's a boy, it's named after the motorcycle.
It,
yeah, don't assume it.
Don't assume the gender.
Exactly. So,
yes, it's a girl.
What kind of dog is it?
She's just a mutt.
There's no such thing as just a mutt. She's a lovely mutt. Mutts are
awesome.
She is
a lovely mutt. Oh, she is awesome. She's great. Yeah, she's
what made you get a? Was it a gift? Was it early Christmas present?
I got it. It's my daughter. She was my daughter's dog, and they have too much going on. They have three dogs and three kids, and another kid on the way. So, they were looking to downsize a little bit. And
good choice. You went with the puppy, not the kid.
Yeah, I had been talking about wanting to get another dog. So
yeah,
they asked if we wanted to take her, and I did. So
awesome! How old is she?
She's two.
Oh, she's two. I thought she was a puppy. Yeah.
No, not a puppy. She's two. So she's she's settling in. You know, it's a new experience for her because she's used to two other dogs and three other kids. And
yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah, it must be really quiet for her.
two old farts and a dog. So
that, well, you know what you got to do, John, is you got to get another dog.
Yeah.
Like me.
One at a time. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one at a time. That means time for another one. You got one. Yeah. Now it's time for two.
Right.
We were like this close to adopting.
Let me get this one for 3 days first.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we were this close to adopting a third.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a husky at a local shelter that had seizure issues, and our husky had them early on when she was a puppy, so we were kind of familiar with it, so we volunteered, but we never heard back. We tried to adopt her. I think it was a he. His name was Vader.
Nice.
Yeah, and he's a white and brown husky like Romy is. And he's got seizure issues or something, but we put in for him and never heard back anything. So hopefully he found a good home, but we would have had three.
I thought about changing her name, but I didn't want to confuse her.
Yeah.
You know.
Why, Harley's a good name.
And Harley's a good, you know, Harley's a good comic name.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would have gone with like Leia or something, you know.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, we adopted a 14-year-old dog years ago.
Yeah.
And her owner died. Her owner, that's the reverse. Her owner died and she was like, you know, she was old on her last legs and Jen thought it would be a good idea to teach the kids a lesson about death.
Right. Let's get this dog. This got like 6 months to live.
Yeah. Well, she went on to live like 4.5, 5 years.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She lived a long time. She was.
Lesson learned.
Yeah. Well, we had Gabby at the time. We had our other dog, a shepherd mix. And they say when dogs are together, they'll live longer. So when she came, she kind of got rejuvenated having an older sister or a bigger sister running around with her. So,
right.
It was fun, but yeah, she lived a long time, had a good life.
Well, yeah, that's good though.
Yeah, it was.
Good for her. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Good for Gabby.
Yep. So, all right. What do we got for news this week? We've got a lot of news to get to this week. We got our Mandalorian minute and I think we're going to need to do Kryptonite again this week. That was a good episode.
I mean, we can. Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, technically we could do it every week that the Mandalorian is on.
I think that's what we're going to do because it's it really they're all going to warrant it from here on out. What do we got? Two left now. So,
well, especially with the last two.
Yeah, the last two. And obviously these last few. So we got that coming up. Some good books. And as you can see by the title of the show.
I already saw the title of the episode. So I know one book that you liked.
Did you?
I didn't like it as much as you, I think.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll talk about it when we get there. All right. That's cool. But do you mind keeping the name? Because
No, it's fine.
Okay.
I didn't dislike it.
Okay.
I didn't per se, but we'll get into it.
Okay. We'll get into it then. But just so that I just wanted to be for the listeners because it'd be funny if all of a sudden we changed the name.
Oh, yeah.
Because we haven't said the name yet.
Right, they don't know
yet.
They
don't know. So we could actually
change. Of course, by the time they get to this, they do know.
Not really, because we still haven't said it yet. Yeah. So what if we change it to one of the other books?
Yeah. Well, it was bite-sized.
Oh, there you go.
Now we're locked in.
Now we're locked in. Okay, all right.
Because, you know, you can't go back and edit this out or anything. So, or actually even change my words. I don't even know if I said bite-sized. I might have said something else.
Exactly.
So
that entire Kryptonite last week was all made up. You didn't even take part.
I just made you
sound smart, John.
I know.
You want to get into that? We had some comments. People loved.
Well, I was going to say, I didn't. I was a little disappointed that it didn't spark as much conversation as I thought it would.
But it did.
Well, maybe I didn't see it. I only saw one comment, and that was like yesterday.
I saw a few. I saw quite a few, actually, people saying that you had a good comment. And then I just saw that Derek had said something. You had liked it or something, or you had mentioned me. Back and I saw it like 3 days later. I saw your reply like 3 days later. So
yeah,
but yes, no, people liked what you had to say. Nobody supported me, But I didn't say anything.
Well, good.
I didn't say anything. I just was like, no, uh-uh. No, they liked what you had to say.
You just disagreed with
me. You know who really liked what you had to say? It was my son. He's like, yeah, no, he's right.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I told you that when we were talking. He said the same thing.
Now I feel vindicated.
There you go. There you go. I'm not saying you're necessarily wrong. I just think, I'm like, yeah, it's too nitpicky. Just have fun. And well, like you said, you did love the show.
They're my thoughts and opinions, so I can't be wrong.
No, right. Oh, absolutely.
But there's no definitive right or wrong on my perception. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe I didn't see. I guess I miss a lot of these things, and I guess maybe I don't get tagged in them. I'm not sure, but
yeah,
I saw literally no conversation about it whatsoever, except for that one comment that I commented.
Yeah, there was. I could pull it up now, but I thought. I mean, there were a few. Yeah, there were a few.
Yeah.
So, all right, what do we got for? What do you want to start with? We have a lot here.
Well, I mean, we got huge news that I'm sure everybody that listens to this show probably already knows by now, but we need to talk about it anyway.
Yes.
You know, the Warner Brothers announcement came, I think, Thursday. Like, I think it was the day after we recorded.
Pretty much. It was either Thursday maybe or Friday.
Maybe it was Friday, yeah. But it feels like when I saw it, I was like, oh, man, like, I wish I knew this yesterday.
Exactly.
But yeah, so Warner Brothers has doubled down on their Wonder Woman decision, and they have now basically decided to release their entire 2021 movie slate day and date to HBO Max. So that's huge. You know, Wonder Woman was one thing, and we talked about Wonder Woman maybe being like the grand experiment, and like they've already doubled down without even seeing how the experiment was going to work out.
Well, I think what they're and did you see this Steven Soderbergh article that I tweeted out?
I didn't see his article, but I've seen a lot of people coming on both sides of this.
Yeah, Soderbergh's on the side of Warner Brothers of like why they did it, and it's really good. I've already linked it to the show notes, so you can find it there. But I really liked it because it had good reasons on why Warner Brothers did what they did, as opposed to everything else, all the people that are against what Warner Brothers did, including what the Directors Guild, I think, came out today against.
Yeah, the Directors Guild, basically all, you know, the movie theater owners guild.
Yeah, of course,
you know, if
they're upset.
Such a thing. But, you know, you had like Christopher Nolan, you have James Gunn, you have a lot of people speaking out against this, but I'm kind of like on Warner Brothers' side here too. Not
right
only because, you know, as the consumer, it benefits us, but it's kind of like, what else were they going to do?
Exactly.
You know, it's like, let's say they held all these movies for a year. In 2022, like, is there enough room in that year to release all the 2021 movies and the 2022 movies? Like, these things have to get out, you know, and what else are they going to do? And like, they're just the first, like, I can't imagine it's too long. Like, tomorrow is the big Disney investor call, and they're supposed to be, you know, a lot of announcements of upcoming projects from Marvel and Star Wars and all this stuff. And I can't imagine there's not some kind of announcement very similar to what Warner Brothers is doing. Because they're in the same boat. Like, they've got to get these movies out. They can't hold Black Widow and the Eternals and all this stuff until 2022 because they've already got movies coming in 2022.
Right.
So,
well,
but again, you know, huge ramifications with this. Like, this is a big, you know, really a big deal. So
Warner Brothers said in their statement when they announced this, that it's for 2021 only. This isn't a new plan. This isn't, you know, this is because of the pandemic. And the common thread that I'm seeing in the people that are against what Warner Brothers did is nobody is mentioning when they're upset with Warner Brothers, the pandemic.
Right.
They're all saying, like, if you read their quotes and you read the articles that people are writing that how bad this is what they're doing or what they're doing is, they're not mentioning the reason that they're doing it. They frame it in a way that it seems like it's selfish, like they're just doing this to boost their HBO Max numbers. No. They're using HBO Max to get this out to the masses.
There is a little bit of that underlying, because obviously they want to boost those numbers.
But that's the only positive that you're getting out of it. It's like,
right.
And the thing is, I've said this to somebody on Twitter the other day. They're like, it's not fair to the theaters. I go, well, to be fair, that's not Warner Brothers' problem, because they are releasing it to the theaters. It's the consumer that's going to make the decision. Right.
Warner Brothers don't own the theaters.
Right.
They don't have a responsibility to AMC or Cinemark. They have a responsibility to the Warner Brothers shareholders. And that is the only responsibility they have.
But this is what's cool about the Soderbergh article. He doesn't say they have a responsibility to the theaters. But what he says is they want the theaters as bad as the theaters want the movies. Because
of course they do.
Like he says in the article, he goes, you don't get $1 billion a movie by releasing this to HBO Max.
No,
they want that back.
They
need that back. Yes. You know, so for you to think, like Soderbergh said, he goes, for you to think that the theater experience is dead, no. Because they'll do everything. Once this pandemic is over, they want those billion-dollar blockbusters back. And the only way you're getting that is in the theater.
Well, the CEO of Warner Brothers kind of, I don't want to say he walked it back, but he did make a statement later in the week that, like, these plans are fluid.
Yes.
Like, if we get to June or July and it's like all systems go, then they may take this, they may stop this. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, this is their plan, but there is some room for, you know, for alterations.
Yeah.
Now, they have to be careful, because if you have a, you know, 20 million people that sign up for, you know, for HBO Max for a year under the impression that they're going to get these movies, and then 6 months from now you take half of them away, then they've got a consumer problem on that end too. So
do they even have a year deal?
I think right now they just have a 6 month deal.
Okay.
You know, cause it, well, and like,
well, I'm signed up already I signed up for like,
well, we have a lot of people have a 1 year trial because of their involvement with AT&T.
Right.
So there is that. But, you know, let me kind of back this into the next news story, because, you know, this is a kind of a no-brainer.
Shocker.
But, you know, yeah. So HBO Max is ending their free trial period prior to Wonder Woman premiering, which is exactly the same thing that Disney
did. I loved hearing all the people and seeing all the people on Twitter like, I'll just get the free trial and I'll get to see. Right. I'm like, come on. You don't see that coming?
But what they did is they replaced it with this six-month deal where if you sign up for the six-month package, you save, I think it's 25% off the normal price, or it might even be 30% off the normal price. So they're gonna get people from, say, December until May on that six-month deal.
Yeah.
So if they now decide in June that it's okay to go back to the theaters, well, then they're kind of off the hook. But if they expect all these people in May to sign up for an additional 6 months and then decide in July they want to go back to the theaters, then, you know, then they've got an issue with their subscribers.
Yeah.
So I think they kind of have to be careful what they do there.
I think it would be smarter as a theater or somebody that likes the movies, I would just pay monthly. And if the movie's coming out that month, you get HBO Max, watch whatever shows you want to watch. It's $15.
Well, but that's
like going to the movies.
That's if you don't think you want it for anything else anyway.
Correct.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I want the service regardless. Even if we weren't getting all of this, there's enough stuff now on there that I enjoy that I'm going to keep it regardless. And this is now my HBO subscription anyways. Like, I don't have HBO from any other means.
Right.
So if I want to watch, you know, the other stuff that I like on HBO, I need this anyways. So,
I saw somebody on Twitter say, he's like, I don't have to pay for HBO Max. I get it for free with my HBO subscription.
Right, which you're paying for.
What? It's like,
I don't have to buy a car. I get mine for free with my monthly car payment.
It's like when my buddy had a New Year's Eve party at his bar, and it was $75 to get in, and you got a free prime rib.
Right.
He's like, he's like, shut up. I was like, wait a minute. I'm charging you $75 to get in, but I'm giving you a free prime rib. Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, it's, yeah, I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be fun for us. Obviously, people like you and I, in my other podcast, this is big news. There's discussions going on, all fun discussions on what this is going to mean going forward. And does it have ramifications? Because as much as Warner Brothers says this isn't the plan going forward, what if the just numbers are just too great? You never know.
That's the whole thing.
That is what scares the theaters. And
right. It may be the plan going forward.
You never know. But it won't be Warner Brothers. And this is the part that I don't like, where people are getting upset at Warner Brothers, because it's like, it's not them, it's us.
Right.
You know, if.
Right. Because the option will be there to go to the theaters.
Right.
If people choose not to, then again, that's not on Warner Brothers.
Exactly. You're going to, you give it to who your customer is ultimately us, not the theaters. Right. Theaters are like, they're just a conduit to get it to the customer. But if the customer stops going there, what are you going to do?
There's like, I think, I counted like 17, I don't want to say major releases, but you know, decent size releases that were listed in the original article of things that are going to release on HBO Max.
Yeah.
Of those, there's like three of them that I will go out of my way to try to see in the theater. But the other 14 of them, I will probably just watch on HBO Max.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is, out of those other 14, I might not have gone to see any of them in the theater anyways.
Right.
I will watch them now because I have access to them as part of my subscription. But,
yes.
You know, Wonder Woman, Suicide Squad, Dune, those are movies that I will go see in the theater regardless.
Matrix,
right. So four of them at least. But of the other ones, like, I may have not watched them anyways. But, you know, I'll be content to watch those on, you know, on HBO Max. So, you know, I don't know. Like, I even would be taking a little bit of money away from the theaters, but I don't know.
Not
that
really,
I would have gone
because
to
like
see
you
them
said,
anyways,
you wouldn't
know?
Have gone anyways. Some
right,
of them,
I might not have gone anyway.
Yeah. So, I mean,
in Warner Brothers' case, they'll actually get more people. I will see more of those movies than I would have.
Right.
Because, you know, with them being
earlier.
Because again, if they're free on HBO, which again, technically quote unquote free, but if they're free with my subscription that I already pay for, there's no reason not to watch anything, you know, because now it's just 2 hours.
Especially
of
not
my
for
time.
You.
Right.
You need
and
content.
I don't have to go anywhere or, you know, I don't have to do anything
and
to see them.
You can sit in your underwear.
Exactly. I can be in my underwear. I can get popcorn for 75 cents instead of like $75.
Yeah.
I can get a can of Coke for like a quarter. Instead of $25, so,
yeah, exactly.
You know.
$25. You don't have to feel like a thief by sneaking in anything.
Exactly, right. I don't have to sneak in candy or...
Or a hibachi.
Yeah. Yeah. Whataburger. That's a hamburger chain in Texas, by the way.
Oh, okay.
For you northerners.
Oh. Oh, boy. All right. So, do you want to let's move right into Disney Plus and Hulu there?
Yeah. So
since we're talking streaming.
Yeah, there's an article that I read, and this kind of makes sense. But it looks like Disney is thinking about merging Disney Plus and Hulu into one streaming service. I guess my only thought there
is it going to be called Dulu?
Well, that's the whole thing. It's a little vague in the sense that are they going to do away with both of these and come up with like a hybrid that's called something else, or will Hulu just appear as like an option in Disney Plus, which seems more likely, because like I can't imagine that Disney Plus with their 72 million subscribers wants to ditch their streamer and start all over again.
No.
I would think that Hulu would just show up as an option inside Disney Plus, like, you know, Star Wars and Marvel and the other topics do. You know, that
I didn't
where,
see this at all. I haven't read anything.
Yeah, well, and
on
again,
it.
This it's speculation. You know, it's an article on the internet, so you know, take from it what you will. But but it makes sense, right? Because Disney owns both.
But it kind of, I don't know if it really. I mean, I'm not saying it can't work, but Hulu's also what people use for their like TV subscriptions and stuff. If you pull, you know, for the
right, there's cord right. Hulu cutters. Has a. Hulu has a, you know, an a live
Hulu
TV
live.
Option.
So right, Disney live. Plus would be adding live TV to their, you know, service, basically. It would be like, I mean, would it be called Disney Plus Plus?
My only problem with it would be, like, for right now, like, I have the hybrid plan already. Right. I pay $12.99 a month for Disney Plus and Hulu and ESPN Plus. But a lot of people don't want Hulu or ESPN or don't care about it,
right?
And they're content to just pay $6.99 a month for Disney Plus. My problem would be if they merge these and then force a price increase,
right?
Which I don't think is the best way to go, because some people just don't care about Hulu or want it, or a lot of people have Hulu and don't care about Disney Plus. So I would have a problem with a merger if it
was forced.
A price increase that forced me to have this new entity instead of
just spitballing here. What I would think that they could possibly do is they take Hulu and Disney Plus, merge them together, slight price increase. But if you want the live service, like
right,
the,
then you pay separate for the live.
You'd pay an additional fee for Disney Plus Live.
Right.
That's what it would be called, Disney Plus Live. But then that would enable, and this is probably where this speculation is coming from, to have a section so that you can put, you know, Deadpool on there. And you
exactly.
can put all of your adult content in the Hulu section of your Disney Plus app.
Right, because Hulu contains a lot of, you know, R-rated material already that, you know, obviously Disney does not
right.
include. So.
And you've been looking.
I have been looking, yes. I want to see that, you know, Minnie Mouse After Dark.
Oh, jeez.
So.
We already got Donald Duck running around with no pants.
Exactly. So he's halfway there.
That's.
So, yeah, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. You know, there's already been a lot of talk about them doing a subsection of Disney Plus. You know, where they
right.
could have a password protected area for R-rated content. And that could just be Hulu.
Right.
You know, so we'll see. Again,
we'll
it's all speculation and rumors, but I saw it this week, and that's the first time I had seen anybody talking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I haven't even seen that yet, but I'll be looking for it. And what's next? What do you want to go to next?
I was just going to go down the list unless you want
okay.
to
go ahead.
Change it differently. So it looks like DC is working on a gender-bent Plastic Man movie.
Didn't see this either.
Yeah, so.
Now, what do you mean by gender-bent?
Basically, it will be a female Plastic Man.
Oh, okay.
It will be Plastic Woman. Which the only thing that I found odd about this specific headline, because I copied this right from the headline that I read, is there's already a Plastic Woman in the comics.
Right.
So, like, why would you gender bend Plastic Man for this movie specifically when you could just say I'm making a Plastic Woman movie? So I thought the whole premise behind it was odd if you just want Plastic Woman.
Do you think the headline was made by somebody not knowing that?
Could be, or could be that they just wanted to
kind of like when people got upset at like She-Hulk,
you know,
and they're right. like, "Oh, they're making a female." I'm like, "No, that's been around a long time."
Right? There's been a She-Hulk for a long time. There's been a Plastic Woman for quite some time.
Right.
You know, look, if they make it, cool.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Plastic Man, Plastic Woman, whatever is not like my favorite character in the DC. Pantheon of heroes, but you know, I'll watch it if they make it because it's a comic movie. So
right. Sounds good. And I think it was kind of a play on words too. Gender bent, plastic. Get it? Plastic man.
Yeah.
So, I get it. You and your headlines.
I know. Hey, I just copy them like I see them.
Yeah, exactly. What the article said.
I wouldn't have used the term gender bent specifically.
Right.
Because I think it's a little offensive, but that was the headline.
Yeah,
so,
I didn't know where that was going. I was like, gender bent. I'm like, okay, so I don't know. I'm like,
that's the term they throw around anytime they alter
a
character's sex from one to the other. So
right. So. All right.
All right.
What do we got with
all right.
This is good about Oscar.
Yeah, Oscar Isaac is busy. He has just been cast as he's like The Rock Jr.
He's got The Rock's agent.
Chip. Chip Isaac. He was cast as Solid Snake in Sony's Metal Gear Solid movie. I think it's perfect casting, honestly.
Yeah.
I've seen like the mock-up artwork of Oscar Isaac as Snake, and it looks great. So
yeah,
I mean, I'm more a fan of the casting as I am of the actual adaptation of the game, because video game movie adaptations are traditionally not great, but but you know, I mean, Oscar Isaac is you know, he's great. I mean, the premise of the game itself lends to a good idea for a movie.
Yeah.
So, I don't think you can go too wrong with it. I think it's great casting, and I'm, you know, really looking forward to it. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be fun. I haven't played that in a long time.
Well, I haven't either, but.
I told you the story back in the 90s. Yeah. It was, Jen gave it to me for Christmas when I was living in Franklin, so that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
But I loved that game, too.
Yeah, so. I did too.
And you
played a lot of it.
You sent me the TikTok on this next one.
Yeah, which did you see that?
I'd seen it earlier too.
Okay.
I think Joe sent it to me or Meg sent it to me. But it is pretty funny. It's like all those tweets. But go ahead with that.
Yeah, so I want to get your take on this too, because so the news broke this week that the Kenobi series for Disney Plus is set to start filming in January. And it's filming in Boston, of all places.
Yeah.
So I guess my question is, why Boston? Like, as far as I know, there's not a lot of sand
right.
or desert in Boston.
No, but so, Boston in January is cold.
It's snow,
dreary.
Right.
It's like, I've been to Aruba and back in January, and when you come back here, everything looks dead.
Gray, right.
You know, because you're flying out of Aruba and everything is beautiful and green and lush, and you're coming into Boston and you're like, it really is like everything is just gray. It's awful looking. So I'm wondering what kind of backdrop they're looking for. They must be looking.
Well, yeah, because I mean, there's no guarantee that this show takes place on Tatooine. I think we all are just assuming. We're assuming that it will, but it doesn't have to. So I guess it could be anywhere. But I thought Boston was an odd location.
It could be anywhere. When they say Boston, like when I tell people around the world
it's Massachusetts. Right. You always say Boston.
Well, it could also be in the mountains in New Hampshire because they'll say Boston, you know, because they're flying into Boston and then they end up in like up, you know, in at Mount Washington, which is only like 2-3 hours away. So, you know,
I just know that like, specifically right now, like Boston is like walking back its opening plans is like heavy in the COVID right now. And
well, that's why they're getting ready for this Kenobi show.
Right.
Now we're all prepping for that.
Knowing the technology they're using on The Mandalorian, where everything's being done on that giant like green screen or whatever.
Right.
I mean, they could film any location they want. Anywhere they want. So they could be filming in Boston and still have him on Tatooine.
True.
But then why go to Boston when they have that green screen wherever they're already filming The Mandalorian? You know what I mean?
Well, this says Kenobi begins filming in Boston. So for all we know, it's just some guy with a camera grabbing footage to go back to that thing.
Could be, right.
Right? No actors are showing up.
He might never be there.
Right.
So.
Exactly. Yeah, it will be interesting to see what they actually shoot here. I'm sure it'll be in the news here.
The biggest takeaway for me is that they start filming in January. So that's a plus.
Right. So by 2023, we have a show.
Exactly. Exactly. Hopefully 2022.
Right.
But,
yep. John, it could be 13. It could be 26 months.
Exactly.
We don't know.
I mean, these shows, they film in the spring or like in the winter and they're ready for by the following winter, you know, like, season 3 of The Mandalorian is filming now, and we'll get it in November. So, technically, we could have this at the end of the year.
Right.
But I don't think so, because that's The Mandalorian's time slot. You know, like, November
it
seems to be
when we
get... It
could The Mandalorian.
But it could
year.
Come after. Right. It could come on the heels of it in the early, you know, in the first quarter of 22.
Similar to WandaVision.
What I would guess.
It could take WandaVision's time slot next year.
Exactly.
In January.
Fingers crossed, but that's what
it's funny. We're calling it a time slot, like back in like the 80s, like on TV, when now it just means a date.
Right.
The time slot of January. All right. And more Star Wars news.
Yeah. More Star Wars news. We talked briefly last week, I think, about the High Republic comic book, series being on FOC, and how that's kind of tied into a whole media thing. Like, there's going to be a novel that focuses on the High Republic, and it looks like now there's talk of an animated series being in development. So now, my initial impression of the High Republic from the solicitations I read earlier in the year when they started talking about this was that it took place, way before the time of, like, A New Hope, like 1,000 years or more. That's not the case. This takes place 200 years before A New Hope. Now, 200 years is still a long time, but it's within Yoda's lifespan based on his age.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect Yoda to be a part of this at all. I didn't think we would have any characters we knew. But the variant cover for the comic was released this week. And it features Yoda very prominently on the cover.
A young Yoda.
Of that. A young Yoda. Yeah, like a 600-year-old Yoda at that point.
Spry.
Yeah, spry. A spry 600 years. So, you know, that's kind of our tie, I guess. Like, that's the one character that is our way into the story, because we already know him, where every other character is going to be fresh for us. But yeah, I'm really excited about this whole thing. I can't wait to read it. The comic comes first, and the novel is slated to come out in January or February. But yeah, this is obviously in the time of the Jedi at their height. The Sith are not a thing at this point. Looks really good. I'm looking forward to this, and hopefully it's an animated series. Probably in development from the same studios that did Rebels and Clone Wars. So hopefully it's a similar tone and style that keeps us with what we're used to.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to how that Senate was formed and where it went wrong and how...
Trade negotiations,
the history behind it. Yeah, let's get into more of that.
The only thing that threw me a little bit was when I was reading this, it talked specifically about, like I said, about it being the height of the Jedi Order, and that the Sith, you know, it was prior to the Sith. Like, my understanding, though, was, like, I thought the Sith went back way more than 200 years. So I think maybe the Sith is just unknown to the Jedi at this point, but probably will be something that exists.
We'll see.
Now, I mean, again, there's lots of stories that are no longer canon to Disney or to Star Wars that talked about the Sith going back, 1,000 years or more, but maybe that just is not going to be a thing anymore. So I guess we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, I don't know. It's something new. Star Wars that's, like, really radically different than what we've had. You know, because like even with the Mandalorian, there's still ties to the Skywalker. You know, there's still ties to things we're familiar with. This is something that's like really brand new.
Yeah, and it'll have a slight tie-in with Yoda.
Right, with the exception of Yoda being there. You know, because again, anything within that time frame that has to do with the Jedi, you know, obviously Yoda
right.
would be a part of. But other than that, there's like really no way it connects to anything that we are familiar with. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. I mean, all of these are going to be fun. And that's
– yeah.
Was there a timetable on that? Did you say?
The animated series, no.
No.
Just the – so far, just the comic and the book.
Yeah.
Don't know when the – but again, if it's an animated series that it's only in the development stages now or even in the talking stages now, you're probably 2 years away from that. Animated stuff has much longer lead time than live action. So it's probably a little ways off, but unless it's further along in development than we're aware of, which is very possible.
Yeah.
So
that is possible because we are not aware of a lot.
Yeah, clearly.
all right. Last one you got here. I have this as well. I mean, this was a lot of fun.
Yeah, they leaked some of the set images from the Hawkeye series.
Was it really a leak?
I mean,
she's like walking down the street.
Yeah. Yeah, with Haley Steinfeld as Kate Bishop in her full Kate Bishop.
You know, I haven't seen a confirmation that she's actually playing the part, though.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's like, I guess this confirms that she's playing the part, because last I heard, she had said she wasn't.
Right.
So, you know, and we know how that goes, right? Like, you can't say yes until they tell you you can say yes. But
that's why I haven't said yes that I'm playing any parts.
I know, right?
They won't let me.
They haven't given me the okay yet.
Yep.
But yeah, again, this being an audio platform, it's hard to show the images, but you know, you can go look them up.
Keep trying.
You can go look them up, you know, if you're interested.
Oh, there's some really good ones.
But yeah, I think she looks great. You know, but again, it's Marvel, so she looks just like Kate Bishop from the comic. Like, you know.
She really does.
Yeah, there's no big surprise here. But yeah, looks great.
And
so,
it isn't just
really
the costume party either, because she's got like scars on her face. She's got wounds.
Yeah, it looks
some
like
of
something's
the shots.
Going,
yeah.
Something's going down. Yeah.
Yeah, looks good. And Jeremy Renner's walking next to her, and a couple of them, he's kind of got this smile on his face. And I'm like,
yeah.
I was like, what is it? It's going to be fun. I love seeing this stuff early on. And then when you watch the actual.
Right.
Show and you go,
no,
that's
so different
that we saw that, you know, it's and it looks so much better on the show too. And I think she looks fantastic here.
Right. But once they get into all the post production and everything,
yeah,
I'm sure it'll look even better.
Yeah.
And then you actually have one more
okay.
that's not on my list. But again, it's just an image. But I saw when I was at dinner, you probably saw too, the publicity photo that they sent out for Superman.
No.
For the CW. Oh,
no.
Okay. So, yeah, they put out an image late today of Tyler Hoechlin in his Superman costume for the upcoming CW show. And this is it's a little bit different than what we've seen already, because, you know, obviously he's been on the CW a few times, and the costume, you know, well, clearly it was Superman, but it was different than the comics version. You know, the cape was different, and it was slightly different. This one is much more similar to the Henry Cavill suit that he wore, like, in the movies.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it looks really good, though. I like it more than what they had before. I think it looks really good.
Yeah, it does. It looks, I mean, that looks really good. The one that
he
had
like
before, it had like suspenders like that stopped.
Yeah, something, right. And it looks like he has worked to fill out the suit a little bit more too.
Well, they can do that with the suit, but yes.
They can do it with the suit, but I mean, I would think that since he's now like has a headliner on his own show, he's probably put some work in.
Right.
To play that part. But yeah, it looks more like a movie suit than a CW suit, you know?
Yeah.
Pretty good quality. So yeah, I was pretty excited with that. And then, hey, that made me think of something else that I forgot to put in the notes. Speaking of the CW, They announced another series for the CW.
What's that one?
Ava DuVernay is going to helm a Naomi series for the CW. So
we love that book.
Yeah, that book was great. Came out about a year ago now.
I think it was Brian Michael Bendis. Was it a year ago or 2 years ago?
I don't think it was two. Maybe it was. I don't know. Time. Hell yeah. The pandemic's been a year. So
I know.
It's probably 2 years. Like, I think this whole year just kind of was.
I think it was in our first year.
Yeah. So it's probably closer to 2 years.
The fall of our first year. It was like whenever they came out with the, what are those books? The Wonder Books or something?
Yeah. The Wonder imprint. When Bendis first went over to.
I think that was at the beginning of 19, to be honest.
Might have been. Yeah. It might have been.
Yeah. And it was what, five books?
Six.
Six books? Yeah. Really, really good series that.
Yeah.
It hasn't picked up since then though, right?
No, I mean, she has showed up a couple of times, you know, since then. Once or twice, not a lot. They haven't really done anything with the character since that series ended, but, you know, obviously
that ended,
it ended
on a great ending too.
It did, but it was open, right? Like there was definitely room for her to continue on.
I'll be willing to bet like the first episode is going to be those books and then we're going to go from there. That would be a blast.
First episode or first few of the first season or, you know, first half of the first season, will probably, you know, comprise that mini series because it was her origin story.
Right.
I would think that this takes the place of Flash or Legends. When all is said and done.
When is it coming on?
It's probably a year away. It's probably 2022. It was just announced, so it's not going to be this year. So I would not be surprised if we get the news that, like, that season, that year is the end of one of those shows.
Any casting?
Because it seems like no casting yet. Okay. Nothing past the announcement at this point.
That's exciting, though.
I would think it's an early development. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to that because...
That'll go well with Stargirl too.
Well, right, and you know now they're kind of this is like the second wave for the CW, right? Because you know Arrow's going away, Supergirl's going away, Flash is probably going away soon, and you're going to have Stargirl, you're going to have the new Wonder Woman show, you're going to have Naomi. There's a spinoff from Black Lightning. That's in the works based on one of the characters from that show.
Oh, okay.
Because Black Lightning is also ending this year.
Right.
So it's kind of like we're going to have a whole new lineup of shows to kind of usher in the next wave of DC shows on the CW. So that's pretty exciting. A lot more diverse than what we have now. You know, Arrow, Flash, you know, there's a lot of white males running around.
Right.
You know, this is obviously going to be different. You know, almost every show that they'll have is female-led and very diverse. Right?
Except Superman.
You have Batwoman. Right, Superman. Who's
But
you know,
do have
white.
Lois in that one, which is a pretty
right,
strong
but
character,
Superman's
too.
As white male as you can get. But, you know, you're going to have Batwoman, which is, you know, a black female. You're going to have Yara Flor, Wonder Woman, who's like a Brazilian female. You'll have Naomi, who's a black female, so much more diverse.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, younger skewing, and these seem like shows for a younger generation a little bit too, you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah,
whereas Flash and Arrow and all that are kind of for like us guys, you know. So I don't know, it's exciting. I'm looking forward to some of these shows.
Forward to their shows starting back up. They start in January.
Well, yeah.
Supposedly.
Anything at this point.
Exactly.
To, but.
Content.
Yeah.
Did you catch the Cobra Kai trailer?
No, I saw the first trailer a couple weeks ago or a month ago or something, right? Wasn't there like a teaser or something put out?
Yeah, there was a pretty good, like 2 minute long.
Yeah, I saw it drop today or yesterday,
yes.
But I haven't watched. Oh, no, I haven't seen it.
It's really, it looks really good. That starts in January as well.
January
starts
8th.
They'll drop all at once.
Yes.
Netflix.
That'll drop all at once on the 8th. And then on the 15th, we get WandaVision, which will probably almost definitely be weekly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'll be that's taken over for Mandalorian. We'll have a couple of weeks off. Well, not really, because we'll have to do Cobra Kai.
Right.
That's going to be fun to look forward to. And
yeah, I can't wait for Cobra Kai.
One rumor I heard today, Brandon Davis at BD on Twitter tweeted, and he's pretty good with stuff like this, says, looks like Daredevil himself, Charlie Cox, just joined Tom Holland in Marvel's Spider-Man 3. Just a rumor, if that's the headline.
According to the headlines yesterday and today, everybody and their brother is in Spider-Man 3.
Right.
I saw a confirmation today that Alfred Molina is back.
That actually dropped yesterday. That was confirmed
yesterday.
Which is yesterday.
Now supposedly confirmed.
Yes.
But they're, talking about, again, Tobey Maguire, Kirsten Dunst, Andrew Garfield, Alfred Molina,
Tobey Maguire,
Daredevil.
I saw one today on Twitter.
Said he was on set.
They had him on set, and they had pictures. Right. But I'm like, well, those are pictures, but does that mean that's the set? It just shows him getting out of a car. I'm like, that could be anywhere.
Well, you could be on set, and then you can be in the movie, and they're not always the same thing.
Right, like, but
maybe he just popped by for lunch,
What's his name? Lucifer. Remember when he was...
Tom Holland. Not Tom Holland, Tom Ellis.
Tom Ellis. Remember when he was on set for the crossover event, CW crossover event, and he's like, no, I'm just visiting. I happen to be in Vancouver, and I'm visiting my buddy, and then he shows up in the show, and you're like, well, what do you think I was going to say? It's like, I had to say that. So you don't just show up on a set and
I'm being facetious. I'm sure if he's on set, he's there.
Well, I don't know if those pictures are legit. That's all.
Right. So, they may not be.
You never know. But it does look like the MCU is just going to get blown wide open with the multiverse, which is going to be a blast for every single movie, every single series, because you'll never know who's going to be where.
Right.
It's going to be very exciting, but does multiverse come out first? Doctor Strange?
Does it come out before Spider-Man? I'm not sure.
I can't remember the
order. At this point anymore, I don't
because
remember.
I think I that comes out anything. First and introduces us, and then the Spider-Man is going to be just...
Probably does, because WandaVision is supposed to kind of lead into Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Right.
But I haven't heard of them... I haven't heard that they've started filming Doctor Strange yet, but they are filming Spider-Man 3, so I don't know.
Right.
They're two different studios, technically, because Sony is doing, does Spider-Man, but I don't know.
Yeah. We'll see. We will see. All right, you got anything else?
No.
All righty. Well, it's that time again. John, what am I going to spend my money on this week?
All right. So, hey, this sounds like a broken record, but Amazing Spider-Man 54 has a Miles Morales 1-in-10 variant cover. this is like the third week in a row we've had one of these. This one's in line with the others. It's selling for between $20 and $25.
Do we just cut and paste this for next week?
Yeah. Yeah, Spider-Man 55, because Spider-Man apparently now is weekly, because it seems like we're getting one every week.
Yeah.
But there's also, these Stormbreakers variants they've had for the last 3 weeks or so that are coming with the books, and this one has also selling for between $25 and $35. So, a couple variants there. Batman 104, the 1-in-25 variant shipped a week after the main cover, because that came out last week, and it's selling for a little bit over ratio, between $30 and $35. Also from DC, we have Mad Magazine number 17. This has a Sergio Aragon tribute cover, and there have been a few sales at the $25 range, and... most of them are selling for cover price or more, but there's been a few of them that sold up to $25. So there is a little bit of extra interest on that just based on the tribute there.
Cool.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Last Ronin, number one. The second printing for number one came out today, but along with it came the thank you variant that was sent to the retailers basically because of the snafu with the underprinting of issue number one. So these are kind of all over the place. They peaked last week at $400 on eBay. Yesterday when these notes were put together, they were selling for between $200 and $225. Today they're down to about $150.
They're down that far.
Yeah, with some sales even in like the $99, you know, to $110 range. So,
oh, wow.
I was able to sell mine today for $150. But they're coming down. So I don't know where it's going to settle. I would imagine once, you know, a million of them hit eBay yesterday because that's when most stores got them. You know, right. The stores that put them up 2 weeks ago because they knew they were going to get it. You know, those are the stores that were able to get, you know, $300 to $400 for it. You know, I always hesitate to do stuff like that until I have them in hand. Which
right.
I think is what most retailers do. And so yesterday, they all hit eBay and the prices came crashing down. But I would imagine they'll bounce back and settle probably in the $150 range is probably a fair price for it. I wouldn't go too much more than that.
I saw one. Yeah. I saw Slade's this morning. They sold it for, he sold it for $200.
Okay. Yeah.
He had a customer and he was like, you know, who's already bought for $200, so he was.
Yeah, well, I could have held out.
Yeah,
you know, the guy that actually bought it, I gave him the price yesterday,
right,
of $200 to $225. I said, you know, it's going to be between $200 and $225, depending on the condition it arrives in, because I actually hadn't even had it in hand yet. But then when he came in today, you know, he was like, hey, you know, these things are selling now for $150, so.
Right.
You know, are you willing to do any more than that? And, you know, not to get into all of that, but, you know,
yeah.
I could have kind of been a jerk and tried to stick to the quoted price, but he's a good customer, so.
Right.
You know.
That's cool.
And, you know, it's $153 for me, so.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. But, yeah, so there's that. And then last but not least, Usagi Yojimbo number 15. There's a 1 in 10 variant here that's selling for about $25. So it's a pretty good price for that.
Dr. Joe's going to jump all over that.
Yeah.
He's a big Usagi Yojimbo fan.
He is.
All right. Actually, I got some news on Friendly Neighborhood.
Okay.
And it's kind of good news, bad news, sad news. So, you know, they're in the back of a store right now. I told you before. They've been...
Yep.
You know, getting by back there. Well, Ernie bought he owns a liquor store too.
I saw that on Twitter.
Yeah, he got that up and running, what, like a month or so ago? It was announced?
I don't know. I saw Ernie's Liquors on his Twitter handle.
Yeah, well, he just got it all running. Like, he bought it a while ago. He's been, you know, but he got all his licensing and everything. I think he's been open a little over a month, maybe. And the liquor store is literally right next door to the old Friendly Neighborhood Comics, the one you knew, the one you visited, right? Which I love that location. But what Slade was telling me today is starting in like a week or two, or maybe the first of the year, we're going to be picking our books up at the liquor store.
Right.
And it's going to be just pickup only for now. Like, you won't be able to shop. So we really got to get on top of our FOCs and stuff. And. So that we, because there won't be a rack to shop. You just go in and pick it up. And I was like, all right, thanks. You had me at liquor store.
Right.
Like, I was like, what the? And it'll be on a Wednesday morning, you know, same as before. So, and their plan is to develop it into eventually when things, you know, open up around here a little more, they will put a rack at the back of the liquor store. And I was like, this is kind of fun.
It's kind of fun, but like, are kids allowed in? Because
I think kids can go into a liquor store, can't they?
I don't know. I have no idea.
They just can't buy it. I mean, if you're out with your kid, what do you do? It's just a liquor. You're not serving.
Well,
you know.
If they're with their parent, that's one thing. Right. But, like, I don't know if there's, like, 8-year-olds that are just roaming around liquor stores by themselves.
I mean, this isn't their end game either, I hope. I know. But what I think is, like, it's great, but it's sad at the same time because this is the state that we're all in right now. And it's like everybody.
Do what you can to get by. That's
You know? And it's like you see all these people, it's like, you know, clawing to stay alive. You know, and I mean, for Ernie has a liquor store now, and you know, liquor stores do fairly well.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, the comics probably go away and it just becomes a liquor store.
That's what I think is great. It's because, I mean, they're literally, you know, clawing away to keep that store afloat. When it would be easier just to be like, we're just doing liquors.
Yeah.
You know, but they don't because they love the comics and they want – and the stories Slade told me, I won't get into it, but the things they're doing right now just to keep this thing going, it's not easy. And
it's not easy. And honestly, I think a lot of lesser people would have just gave up. And honestly, I'm one of them. Like, I probably would have just gave up.
By now, and it's especially if you have something else to fall back on.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I don't. But I mean, I wouldn't, like, if I had to close my store tomorrow, I would not be looking at the option of selling them out of the back of somebody else's place. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't have taken that step. I would have just closed down and that would have been it. So,
sold all your books off and cut bait.
So the fact that they're, you know, even doing all that stuff is just a testament to how hard they're trying to keep it, to keep it going.
It's,
you know?
I mean, it's very inspiring, really. Yeah. It's like you think you got it tough, and you see these poor guys, and they're fighting away. And it's awesome. But it is sad. It's like, and you know how well they were doing before too, and just, I mean, one thing after another. So, hopefully everything works out. And a year from now, maybe they'll, you know, have their own store back again. So we will see. But I thought that was a pretty cool story. And hey, I can't complain about stopping at a liquor store.
Right.
So, I mean, I know what you're saying. For kids, it's not good. But for me, you had me at a liquor store.
Right. So. My responsibility is to me, not to the kids. Yeah. So.
Exactly. It's going to make back issue bonus kind of tough going to the liquor store. Be like, exactly. I got a Coors Light. Oh, look at this. Sam Adams. Got a vintage one back here.
I got a pint over here.
All right. Let's get back to the show proper. And what do we got for back issue bonus?
Daredevil 25. We talked about this last week. You know, came out last week at cover price, and quickly by the end of Wednesday was selling for around $25. I think we talked about last week. By midweek, it peaked at about $65. So that seems to be the high. It's starting to trend downwards again, selling back in the $25 to $35 range. But there were a couple sales even yesterday at $60. So who's to say? I think this, you know, obviously is one of the harder books we've had for a while. And, you know, I don't see it really settling down anytime soon. This is probably going to be in demand for a while. The 1 in 25 variant is selling for between $90 and $150. So, again, way over ratio on that. Second prints have been announced. They're on FOC this coming Monday. Spoiler covers. So if you haven't read the book yet, don't look at the cover for the second printing.
I mean, the value of that book is going to be, like we said last week, it's got everything going for it. It's a limited number because nobody knew.
Yeah, nobody knew. So
I was talking with Slade about it this morning.
A lot of demand for this book that there just wasn't enough supply for. So the second printings, you know, who knows? Because we've seen second printings in a lot of cases be worth more than the first printings. Because, again, this second printing is going to be the first cover appearance of XYZ character that, you know. Although, I mean, it's a week old, so, I mean, you know, spoil it as you will. But I think this is going to be the status quo for the comic for a while. kind of like the Jane Foster Thor run that lasted for about 2 years. I'm predicting that this will be about the same, based on the fact that, you know, if you're reading the story, you know, Matt's sentence at this point is 2 years. So, that's perfect for a run of a comic.
They've set it up to be possible and very, like, I mean, the story is not going to slow down.
No.
I mean, you add in the brother, that's months old, that news. Right. And if you don't know what we're talking about, it's like, Daredevil has a brother.
Trying not to spoil it, but, but you know, I mean, you're reading the
book,
you know.
That's months old. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's. But,
and if you're not reading the book like you should be, like 25 is a great jumping on point for this because it looks like it's going to be the beginning of a new direction.
Yes.
So the second print is on FOC on Monday. So get into your
store. Yeah, I think 24 is a good jumping on point.
It would be.
24 would give you the backstory, quick backstory, and get you run. Yeah. You're off and running into 25.
Everything leading up to it is, you know, kind of required reading to some degree.
Yeah, one is ideal. The jumping on the start point.
Well, but I'm saying because the whole thing is built, like the whole run so far is built to this point.
Right.
But I think this is the changing of direction where you could pop on with this issue, and you know, kind of go from here. So, but yeah, it's a great book. We talked about it last week at the end of the show. So if you haven't heard it yet, go back and listen to that. But yeah, and the cover looks great. I really like it.
Oh, you saw the cover?
Yeah, I've seen the cover.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it looks great. But like I said, it's a spoiler cover. It is front and center of who the character is. So,
it's in FOC, right?
Yeah, it's on FOC.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen the FOCs yet.
Yeah. All right. So next, Hawkeye number 11. This is from the Matt Fraction run. I think like 2014, 2015-ish. But, you know, they show Hawkeye with a dog in the set photos that we were talking about earlier.
Yes.
This Hawkeye run, you know, has Hawkeye with a dog and Kate Bishop and all of that. So, I mean, you know the drill on that. This particular book is going for between $15 and $20 for the main cover. And there's a second print for this that's selling for between $25 and $40. So.
I just saw the Daredevil cover.
Yeah.
It's actually a shot from the.
It's right from the end. Right. It's really the last page. It's the last page of the book.
Yep.
Okay. Young Avengers number one. I don't know how many times we're going to talk about this book, but it's in the news again, obviously. But this is the first appearance of Kate Bishop. It just keeps just keeps pushing up, you know, pushing higher. I will go back and recount the tale of how I sold a copy a year ago for $4.
Did, Is Peach going to do a cover?
Yeah, I don't know. I would imagine. I mean, she is under contract with Marvel now. So.
You could pay your house off.
Yes, exactly. but yeah, you know, first appearance of Kate Bishop. Obviously, Kate's in the news again and will continue to be now as we have confirmation that she is in this show for sure. And this is probably a $200 book. Or more by the time the show airs. So, at this point, $125, you may still have room to pick one of these up and still be getting a good
deal.
Make
some money.
On one.
Yep.
Yeah, I wouldn't wait too much longer, but
yeah.
But I mean, we've talked about this book at least half a dozen times since the rumor broke that she might be in the show, and every time we've talked about it, the price has gone up. You know, $20, $25.
And it's all because we're talking about it.
Exactly. I mean, that's the power of the bright side.
We're driving up the prices.
Yep. hey, that's what we
can
do.
Can we talk about some of these old DVDs I got lying around?
Yeah, exactly. What can we talk about that I have around the house? I got this Felix the Cat Pop on my desk. let's talk about that. All right. Next, we have Doctor Strange number 384. They're calling this the first appearance of the Void symbiote, which I imagine has something to do with the King in Black that I haven't gotten a chance to read yet. But this is selling for between $10 and $25. There's also a second printing on this that's selling for between $30 and $50. If you noticed, the last couple of things we've talked about, the second print has been worth more than the first print. So go back to Daredevil 25, second print that's on FOC this week.
Yep.
And again, if you missed out on the first printing, I would definitely grab one of these. And then, hey, surprise, Naomi, number one.
Yep.
So, yeah, it was announced. Obviously, we talked about it, that there's a CW show in the works. This was already a hot book that was pretty hard to get. Now it's selling for about $100 for the main cover. The B cover variant is selling for between $50 and $60. And there was a C2E2 variant cover for issue number one that's also selling for $60. Also, keep an eye on issue number five. This is the first appearance of her in costume.
Yeah.
So that one will probably – I don't have pricing on that one yet, but definitely one to watch. Although finding any of these at this point is near impossible.
I got them.
Well, yeah. You've got them, but I mean finding them now in any store
right.
Is pretty hard.
Yeah.
And then last but not least, we have Kanan, The Last Padawan, issue number six. This is the first appearance of Sabine Wren in comics. This is a $100 book. I would imagine, due to wild speculation, that we may see her before the end of season two of The Mandalorian.
That would be awesome.
It would be awesome. And that is it for Back Issue Bonus.
All right, let's get into this week's FOC. We've got some nice-looking books here.
Yeah, so FOC this week, not quite as long as last week's, but still the name of the game for DC is Future State. It's going to be for the next couple of weeks because that's all we're going to get for January and February. But there are some variant covers here. We have for the next Batman, Future State number two, Francesco Mattina. Variant cover. For Future State Shazam number one, there's a Gerald Perel variant cover. And my favorite for the week is Deceased Dead Planet number seven. This is a
that
Ben
is
Oliver
fantastic.
Cover. It's a great cover. I really like it.
Ben Oliver. That name doesn't
he did
even
a lot
familiar.
Of, what is well, it? He did a lot of Batgirl covers that
oh,
we
okay.
talked about.
Yep.
Some really nice Batgirl covers last year. All right, and then the new series, again, these are all Future State, and they're all basically two issues with two covers, so we'll save some time here. We've got Catwoman, Immortal Wonder Woman, Nightwing, Shazam, and Superman Worlds of War all on FOC this week.
Catwoman cover looks like a crossover with Silver Surfer.
A little bit. A little bit. We'll talk about these again a little bit later. Because I read a bunch of these.
Oh, okay.
All right. From Image, we have Ha Ha, number one. This
okay.
is a six-issue miniseries with two covers. Don't know anything about it except it's got a clown on the cover. So take it from there.
Ha Ha, I get it.
Ha Ha, yep. Okay, Marvel, we have variant covers for Avengers 41. This is Lanil Francis Yu, and this is a Marvel versus Aliens cover. It's pretty cool. And then the aforementioned Daredevil 25 second printing. Marco Cicchetto is the artist there. He's the interior artist. We already mentioned that this is basically just the splash, the ending splash page from the comic itself. So,
okay.
But yeah, it looks really cool.
Yeah.
New series from Marvel. We have Iron Fist Heart of the Dragon number one. That's a 6-issue miniseries. With multiple covers, and then Maestro War and Pax number one. That's a 5-issue miniseries with multiple covers. I like that cover too.
I'm looking for that one. Yeah. I'm trying to scroll through and find.
Just look for the big green guy. Look for the big green face.
Oh yeah. I saw
yeah,
that.
It looks
one.
Pretty cool though.
Yeah. That is pretty cool.
All right, from AWA we have Man's World number one with two covers. From Boom, we have Abbott 1973, number one, with multiple covers. That's a 5-issue miniseries. Dynamite has Red Sonja, The Superpowers, number one, with about 8 billion covers. And Zenoscope has Robin Hood. Yeah. Robin Hood, Iron Maiden. This is a one-shot that has three covers.
I'll be picking that up.
That is it. Yeah. I thought of you when I saw it. Yep. That's it for FOC.
All right. All righty. So that brings us to this week's checkout.
It does.
What do you want to start with? You want to start with,
I'm going to go in order. Let's go with the show title here. Bite-sized number one. This is from AWA. It was written by Cullen Bunn. It has art by Nelson Blake and a cover by Raza. So I talked about this briefly a few weeks ago. I got a chance to read this, ahead of FOC. And I wasn't thrilled with it. Like, I thought this was the first AWA book that I didn't love. I reread it today, and I liked it a little bit more today than I did the first time around. But I still think this is one of those AWA books that's good but not great. It's entertaining. I think the art, you know, it's different. It's a much more stylized cartoon.
Yes.
Art, which is different than, you know, AWA has been pretty kind of gritty and realistic on most of their titles so far. So this had a much different feel, and maybe that's why I didn't like it the first time around. But I actually liked the art style in this again when I came back to it today. This basically, you follow some robots that, you know, escape from the facility that they were, I guess, created in, and end up in somebody's Christmas tree in Texas. So, I don't know. Like, it seems fun. I don't know. Like I said, something about it the first time around didn't strike me. But like I said, I did like it a little bit more this time around. This is only a 4-issue miniseries, so we're not going to get a ton here. And I can tell by the title of the show that you liked it, I think, more than I did. So I'll let you talk about it a little bit.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for handing it off to me, John.
Yeah, no problem.
No, I really, really enjoyed this book. But it's funny that you say, like, you didn't like it, but you came back to it. Because I wonder what you read before you read this today and what you were doing when you read it a couple of weeks ago, because
this is the first book I read today, but I don't remember what I was doing a few weeks ago.
So I read we have two more books after this to talk about. One you read, and I also read another one, and those are both horror books.
Right.
Okay. So I read both of those, then went to Bite Sized, and I liked all the books that I read today, but this book here, it just hit that Christmas note. Hit the what it's like to be a kid again, and the excitement those kids had in this book to going to bed, and the winter storm, the blizzard, and what it's like being it. I mean, I just loved the way that it was written to, like, you have a truck driver getting out into the snow, and I don't know why. I just got engrossed in the feel, because at the beginning, you know, the truck driver's leaving the diner and he wants the coffee, and he's heading out into the storm. So, but there was that feel. I just related to it. The early on with, you don't even know what's going on at first.
Well, I was going to say, can I tell you a little bit what I think it might be? So the first time I read through this, like, you don't know what these things are. Like,
right.
I actually, when I read it the first time, I got the sense that they were maybe alien life forms. And, like, you didn't know what their intentions were. And you're not sure if they're, like, malevolent or, you know, because, like, when they break out of the bunker, they sabotage all the vehicles. And you're not quite sure what their intentions are. But then at the end of the book, there's, like, an afterwards by Cullen Bunn that talks about the story and describes them as robots and likens them to, like, R2-D2 and things like that, and kind of lets you know that these are robots that you're going to like and you're going to fall in love with. And so when I read this the second time, I kind of had that knowledge in mind, so maybe that's why I looked at it a little differently.
Yeah.
You know? But like for you reading it the first time, you wouldn't have really had that experience. No. So I don't know, but now see, that I'm thinking about it, maybe that's why I liked it a little bit more the second time around. I don't really know.
I read through the beginning of it again, and I understood the beginning more, and it is a quick read.
It is. It's a lot of work. I mean, a lot of art.
Yes. So I tweeted about this.
When they speak, it's just gibberish, so you don't have to really read anything.
Right.
So
I tweeted back, like, Cullen had put out a tweet promoting the book, and I retweeted it with a comment on, like, it's just the Christmas feel. That's what really grabbed me, is I love Christmas. I love everything about it. I love the Christmas memories of being a kid, all of that good stuff, and that's in here.
Well, and I also read this the first time before Thanksgiving, so maybe I wasn't in the Christmas spirit yet.
Yeah, so that could have something to do with it. And I like the way it's coming out right now. It's at that Christmas time. But, I mean, even if you're not big into Christmas, there is a fun family feel here. But like you said, reading the end of the book, I read this morning. And then this afternoon, I was listening to our buddies Dr. Joe and Nick Fryer doing their Fryerside chat.
Right.
Well, their interview came out today with Cullen Bunn.
Oh,
and
cool.
They talk about this book. So I highly recommend checking that out, because you get even more. He elaborates on the stuff that he says at the end of the book.
Right.
So you get a little bit more of the backstory and a little bit more information on what's to come. So it was a really good interview. They did a really good job. Cullen, really, obviously really good talker. He's part of the Nerdy Legion, as a matter of fact. So,
right.
But yeah, he checked that out over on, Change My Mind podcast, and you can find that. It just dropped today. So, but I just really love the Christmas part of it. And then I love that robot, the one that we find in this, in this story. And there's not much of them. So, like, you're going to hear me say that, and then if you read the book, you're going to be like, what does he love about it? Well, what I love is the mystery. Where is this going?
Right.
You know, and you don't really know until you read a little bit more in the after part, and if you hear him talk about it on Change My Mind. But it's – I just – this is going to be fun. And it is kind of for kids, too.
It seems to be, yes.
It's a younger story, and – but it's still, I like I said, I can't stress enough how much I love that Christmas feel, seeing those kids climbing into bed and being excited to get up in the morning and trying to do everything right so that Santa shows up, you know, and the dog. How do you not like the dog in this story?
Oh, yeah. No, I did.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
It's like, and when he was like, he didn't do anything wrong. He's trying to tell him, like, no.
Right.
It has all of those feels. And I just really, really enjoyed that story. And it has more adventure to it, too, than what you and I are saying right now. So I thought it was a lot of fun. That's why I picked it.
Yeah.
So. Cool. All right, I'll move right along to, and then we'll finish with, because I read the other one you did too, so.
Okay.
Piecemeal, prestige format too. It's a one shot from Aftershock Comics, also by Cullen Bunn.
Oh, cool.
And art by, Seizman Kedrunsky. So this is a, This one was good. It was really good. I actually liked the next one we're going to talk about a little bit more than I liked this one. But for a one-shot story, I thought this was a lot of fun for a horror story. It's kids and they're trying to, basically there's a haunted mansion, haunted house. And there's they find something there, but you find out that Piecemeal is the title, so you kind of get the idea. There's body parts involved, and there's hauntedness involved, and you kind of got to read the story twice to understand it. But it has a real, real creepy feel. As a matter of fact, as I'm reading this, I'm like, there's probably no way Dr. Joe's reading this book, because it was creepy, it was scary, and it's in that prestige format, which he absolutely hates.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a fan of it either, but.
Yeah. It's I thought it was a real, and I loved the art in this book because there were each frame, not every frame, but it changes like monochromatic frames to tell you like where the thoughts are coming from and the sense of horror is coming from.
Okay.
And it's got a really good thread of mystery throughout. You're not really sure what's going on. And then as a one shot at the end, you're still left with what the hell? And that's why you kind of got to go back to the beginning and read it again, because there's no other book, but it is, it's a fun horror story. I enjoyed it, but cool. I enjoyed this next one even more.
Okay. Yeah. So the next book is from Image Comics, Homesick Pilots, issue number one. It was written by Dan Waters. It had art by Casper Wingard. So this is, it's a horror story, like we mentioned. It's a haunted house story. When you were describing the beginning of that one you just read, I was like, well, so is this.
Exactly. they were very much alike.
House. The difference is, this is a haunted house that you kind of find out has lost its ghosts, and it like wants its ghosts back.
Right.
So, which is interesting. Like, that's not really anything you've, because like, if you're a haunted house and you lost your ghosts, are you still a haunted house?
Right. Like,
or are you just a house? but yeah, you get this character called Amy, and she's the lead singer of a punk band called the Homesick Pilots. And basically, they're in like a, seems like there's a rivalry with another band from the high school, and they're trying to one-up each other. So she gets the idea that they should hold a concert inside this haunted house. So she, through a series of events, goes into the house and doesn't come back. And the rest of the band goes looking for her, and, you know, haunted house things happen in the haunted house. So, I don't want to spoil anything, but I really liked this also. This was my favorite book of the week, that I read, which admittedly weren't that many, but yeah, I really liked this. Again, I had already read this. I read this book the same time I read Bite Sized. So I read them both today for the second time. But yeah, the fact that I enjoyed it again, kind of speaks to it, because I don't usually like to read books multiple times. So,
right.
But yeah, I recommend it. I like it. It doesn't have I don't know how many issues this is. I don't know if it's ongoing it says right here, a brand new ongoing series. So I do know that it's ongoing.
Ongoing. That's interesting. Yeah. Like how long can this go?
Me kind of wonder, how long this story can go on for. So,
yeah.
I guess we'll find out, because I like it. I'm definitely going to go on and read the next issue. So,
yeah, no, I really like this book too. The reason I picked Bite Size, like before we even start the show, is because, I thought it had the holiday theme. So we're in Christmas. So I thought that would be good. And that was really it. I mean, Bite Size, I really liked, but I did like Homesick Pilots as well. And the other thing was Homesick, it's so close to Piecemeal.
Yeah.
When you read Piecemeal, when you start that, I read Homesick first, then I read Piecemeal. And I'm reading Piecemeal, and I'm like, oh, man.
I'm kind of think you're reading the same book.
It's kids, high school kids, haunted stories, haunted houses, kind of the same idea. But, yeah, the feel in this Homesick Pilots, though, is, like you said, with the that scene where the two bands come in the house in different places.
Which was really cool the way they set
wasn't
that
it?
Up. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, it's fun. It was fun to read because you realize when you're reading at the beginning, you're like, okay, well, I can't just keep going in the normal S pattern that you go. You got to go back to the beginning of the bottom.
Yeah. You kind of go down one side and down the other.
Yeah. And meet in the middle, which was really cool. That was a fun thing to do. But everything that happens in the story is all like foreshadowed at the beginning when they talk about the history of the place.
Right.
But like typical kids, typical anybody,
typical anybody in any horror movie ever. They always know ahead of time that they shouldn't do what they're doing, but they do it anyways.
But so. You say that, but at the same time, if somebody told you about a haunted house, you would say the exact right same thing because you don't believe in it. And then you get in there and you're in that situation.
Right.
You know, so it's like, why don't people believe this? Well, because we in real life don't believe this. So that's the most realistic you can get is to not believe it. And then they go in and the bad things happen and it's pretty bad. It was pretty gruesome too.
It and was. Yep.
It's another one I don't recommend for Dr. Joe. or at least not at night. But it was very entertaining, and I'm a little bit unsure on how long this can go, though.
I would have felt
better if it was five. Yeah, but ongoing, it's like, where are you gonna go? How many people can go in and not come out?
There could be different arcs, or.
Or do they just keep name them different bands? Go in and like this week is the Homesick Pilots, but next week is like Aerosmith. Right.
They're going to have Woodstock at the end of it,
right?
South by Southwest or something.
Yeah. So, you know. But good group of books this week. Two horrors and a holiday.
Two horrors and a Christmas. Yeah.
H is a wild.
Yeah. So before we move on to real world, I mentioned I read the next batch of Future State books.
Yes.
I got PDFs for, I think, like 10 more books today. I read about half of them. I would have read a few more, but I had some customers that wanted to hang around and talk for a long time today. So
nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. But I liked some of these more than last week's books.
Well, that's good.
Which is good, yeah, because last week I was really not impressed with any of these. I read both the Wonder Woman books, the Immortal Wonder Woman, which is actually like Diana, like our normal Wonder Woman. And then the Yara Flor Wonder Woman book. Both of those were pretty decent, actually. I liked both of them. The Nightwing book I liked. All the Batman family books are all centered around the same story. It's all taking place in the same time frame in Gotham.
That's smart.
Where they kind of believe that Batman is dead. And, like, there's been laws passed against masks and vigilantes and things like that. And the magistrate is trying
John,
to apprehend.
Laws passed against masks?
Yeah. Which I think it's not timely. They're all kind of themed and they're all facing the same things from different perspectives because these are obviously all masked vigilantes that are operating now outside the law and are being hunted. And again, all operating under the assumption that that Bruce is dead, has been killed. So
sounds interesting.
So yeah, I read Nightwing, I read Catwoman. Obviously those both took place in Gotham and I liked both of those books. What else did I read? Oh, Shazam. I read the Shazam book. Now this doesn't take place. This is obviously not in Gotham.
Gotham.
But this was a very interesting take. I actually liked this one, I think, the most. Like, this is a story that I would have liked outside of Future State. I think it's a really interesting idea that they've got for this book. And I'm actually, with this particular one, really disappointed that it's only two issues. Because this is a story that, honestly, I would love to see explored. So that's definitely one I recommend.
That's the Shazam?
Up. Yeah, that's Shazam. Really cool. And, like, if you I can tell you more off air if you want to know.
Cool.
You know,
yeah.
And I started to read Teen Titans, and that's the one I kind of had to stop reading, and I didn't get back to. I read like the first half of it, and it seemed interesting. So
how long are these?
They vary. They're really all like 20-ish pages, but a couple of these, like I read The Next Batman also. And that was decent also. But like that one, that's like 65 pages, but there's three separate books in it. Only one of them is Batman. And then the other two stories, one of them is like The Outsiders and one of them is something else. So it's a thick book, but you're really only getting 20 pages of Batman. And then everything else is just additional stuff. The Detective Comics one from last week was the same. It was like 45 pages, but the last 22 pages were like Grifter or somebody that like nobody really cares about. So, but most of these are running in the, you know, just a normal size, 22 pages. So like I said, yeah, this week's batch of books, I liked a lot more. So take that, you know, with a grain of salt, because I've now read 15 of these and only liked a handful of them, but at least there was some I liked, and I really liked Shazam. So, definitely recommend that one. Above all of them, because it's not even so much a Future State story. It's just a really interesting Shazam story. So
yeah, cool. Yeah.
So yeah, and all that's right. Really all I read today. So
all right, what else did I read today? I read the new crossover number 2.
Oh yeah, I haven't got to that yet. I really wanted to read that too.
Ooh, there's some crossover.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about that. I won't even say
anything.
Yeah, because
I really want to read that one. I just, like I said, I got busy at the end of the day and I couldn't get to it.
Yeah, that was good. Batman Black and White.
Yeah.
That was good. No, I can't say that.
I started that the PDF a couple weeks ago, and I honestly couldn't get through it. Like, I didn't like the first story at all, and I stopped
reading
it.
The last story's good.
Okay.
Go back and try the last story. It's pretty good. You'll like that one. The first story, I was like, this has got to be whoever did Silver Surfer Black.
Yeah, and that was the Ghostmaker story, and I just didn't like it.
Yeah, you know? I didn't like the art for that. I liked it when he did Silver Surfer. It is the same guy. I went back and looked. I was like, yep, it's him. But when it doesn't, it goes with Silver, the art goes with Silver Surfer. What is it?
I think it's Trad Moore.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, that's correct. I knew the name was Trad because I thought it was Tad when I first read it. But yes, it goes with Silver Surfer, his style.
Right.
It doesn't go with Batman. It looked like a coloring book because his style goes with color. It's like it's beautiful with color.
Yeah. But, yeah. Yeah, it's not
in black and white. You just want to get your colored pencils and stop filling in. But yeah, the last story was really good. I think you'll like that one. And yeah, that was about it. But yeah, I can't wait to talk to you about crossover. We'll do that. We'll do that one next week.
Okay,
definitely. So, all right, let's quickly move into real world.
Okay.
What did you watch this week?
Oh, I was going to say, I was waiting for you to, because you always say the same thing. So I was waiting for you to ask me what I watched.
What did you watch this week?
You can't not set me up, man. It's like Eddie and Ralph at the beginning of their show. Like, something's off, it's not right.
I'm sorry. So, yeah. I know.
So, yeah, we finished Queen's Gambit. I think last week when we talked, we only had one left. So obviously we finished that pretty quickly. Again, really enjoyed that show. I think it's definitely worth a watch.
We're into it too. We haven't finished it clearly, but okay. But yeah, really, it is a really good show.
Yeah, really good. I think from there we watched the next two episodes of The Flight Attendant because they drop on Thursdays, and it looks like they're dropping two at a time now. Is the same model
it's
they had with Raised by Wolves. They did the same thing. They dropped three and then two every week after that. So, yeah, we're caught up on The Flight Attendant. We started Selena on Netflix. I think we're like four episodes into that. I believe there's eight or nine episodes there. That's been pretty good. You know, Lydia, that's more something she wanted to watch. But it's been pretty good. I think that's it. We didn't watch a whole lot this week.
Short
I mean,
week
we watched, yeah, I mean, we watched Mando, obviously, and,
we'll talk
about that in a minute. And then, like I said, we had a couple of our regular network shows, but like, we don't need to talk about Grey's Anatomy or anything like that. So, although we have been watching, have you watched Big Sky at all?
No.
That's pretty good. I think there's been three episodes of that now. That's pretty tense. You know, it kind of involves what was that comic we read? Devil's Highway, I think.
Yep.
That this is very similar. It's like a trucker that is abducting and, you know, trafficking. This is more trafficking. At Devil's Highway, they were killing, you know, they were killing the people. This is more about trafficking young girls. But yeah, so, you know, obviously it's a weekly kind of drama, but he, you know, he's kind of in cahoots with the local law enforcement and, you know, girls are going missing and these private detectives are looking for them. But yeah, it's been pretty good. Pretty good show so far. So I recommend that. And it's just NBC or something. It's just one of the regular network shows. And then, yeah, I think that's it. We watched Mandalorian, so.
Yeah. All right. We finished The Undoing.
Okay.
That was,
yeah, I was a little disappointed. Honestly.
Really?
Well, the only reason
let's not
why
do spoilers because
I was disappointed because it was what it was. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but like, you can't, but that's what I liked about it.
See, I didn't because you know you're always looking for the Law and Order twist, and there wasn't one. It was kind of like we told you it was this, and it was this.
That's unusual, though.
It is unusual.
That's what I liked about it. That was kind of cool because you.
And we've already given it away just by saying that, but
no, but
because once you watch the first episode, you'll know what we mean. But yeah, no. I mean, it was well done. Don't get me wrong. Like, I mean,
yeah,
the ending was good, and the acting, like everything, was great. Yeah. But I was just kind of like, well,
it was so good.
It is what it is, you know.
Yeah, it is.
So
yeah, it was great, and you're left sitting there going. And it, the way they end it is so good.
It was really good. He was really good. Like, you know, I'm always used to Hugh Grant in, like, the English love movies, you know.
Yeah,
and
where he's
Love
the,
Actually
the,
and all these things.
Yeah.
And this one, he's like, you know.
The charming, handsome guy.
Yeah.
And, you know. And
but
he
he's
was
a sociopath,
charming and handsome,
you know?
In this one, too.
Yeah, but he's also a sociopath. And it's like, I liked. He was good. He was good in
it. Yeah, he was really good.
Good role for him. And, like he did an interview talking about this role and how like, not that he's a sociopath in real life, but like how he's much closer to this guy than he is
any
the
other,
Love Actually guys. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
oh,
he's like,
of course.
those are just roles that they make me play. But
right.
Like, this is, you know, he's a much darker person than,
well,
you know.
He did have his indiscretion on the side of the road.
Mm-hmm. So. But, yeah, that was good.
It's definitely worth watching. even if you've heard this podcast now.
We've ruined it, but.
Queen's Gambit, I said we started. Underwater. Have you heard of that movie?
No, not at all.
It's on HBO Max.
Okay.
So Martin watched it, and I heard him on the Nerdy Legion. He's like, I want to hear what DJ thinks about this when he hears it in his theater. So I actually bought the movie on Blu-ray. It's got a 7.1 sound mix, and it is really, really good on Blu-ray.
Okay.
It's really good on HBO Max. I compared the two, and it's a pretty good movie. So it's basically, it's like Martin said, it's a cross between, or not a cross of, but it's like The Abyss, Leviathan, Alien, all these type of movies, but this one takes place, obviously, under the ocean, very similar to The Abyss and Leviathan or even Sphere. And people have to escape what is going, a failed, you know, rig, underwater drilling rig.
Right.
And it's 6 miles under the ocean and everything they have to deal with. And they don't mess around. The story starts out, you know, very quickly. I mean, you're probably 30 seconds, a minute into this, and all hell breaks loose, and you're just on the ride the rest of the way. It's got some horror elements to it, some jump scenes, so maybe Lydia wouldn't like it,
okay.
But I think you would enjoy it, and especially, you know, crank it up and sit back, and
yeah,
I
I'll
think
it's
a lot of fun. It's on HBO Max. It's called Underwater, and it's got, what's her name? She was in Hunger Games.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence, yes. We've got her in it, so. She's a
lead character. Maybe I've seen the previews for this. I think it's good. I kind of know what you're talking about, but I haven't seen it yet. Doesn't it have Kristen Stewart or something, too? Am I thinking about something else?
It's got who played Colleen Wing? She's in it.
Yeah, I know.
You know who I'm talking about.
I know who you're talking about. I know her name, too. But I just can't Iron Fist. Come to me. Yeah.
She's in it, and I didn't know she has a British accent.
Oh, no, I didn't either. Yeah. I like her, though. We talked about her recently because she was supposed to be Rey.
Yep. Yeah, we did. Yeah. I can't remember her name, but yes, she was in it as well.
Jessica Henwick.
Is that her name?
That's her name, yeah.
Okay. Look at you. Another movie Jen and I watched, had a blast with, Daddy's Home 2. Nice holiday favorite. Geez. Have you seen that one?
No. I haven't seen Daddy's Home 1. So.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. It's so funny. It's just cringeworthy. Some of the stuff it's really good. And the ending of it is really good, too, where they all do a little rendition of Do They Know It's Christmas?
Oh, yeah.
In a movie theater that lost power, and they all start singing, and it's good. It's fun. I had a blast with it.
Cool.
So that was about it. But, all right.
Yeah,
we
watched one more. Well, we watched one more movie, I remember. Yeah, I'd forgot earlier. But we watched Uncle Frank on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
Yeah, did you watch that?
Jen just watched that with her mom. No, she didn't. It's like her mom's been dying to watch it, but
it's really good. It was actually really good.
It
has Paul Bettany, Stephen Root, Steve Zahn, and I don't know the actress's name, but she's the younger red-haired actress. She was in It, and she was in that one on Netflix where she had like superpowers. She made people's heads explode. What the name of that? You saw it. I think we talked about it. It was on Netflix. She has like telekinesis powers, like I said, and she But anyways, that redhead, that girl, she was in it also. Really, really good movie. Not necessarily a feel-good movie, although it has a kind of a happy ending in a way. It's set in the 70s, and Paul Bettany's the main character. He's gay, and, you know, obviously in the early 70s, there was a lot of issues with that. He had a lot of problems with his family and things like that. But it was really good. Good drama. Really well acted. And not super long. It was less than 90 minutes. I think it was like 86 minutes or something. So it wasn't it was really easy watch. So, pretty good.
Yeah, I think that's what I think Jen watched that today with her mom.
Okay.
Yeah. So. All right. We ready to get into our spoiler-free Mandalorian Minute?
Sure.
All right, how would you like to start? What jumped out at you, spoiler-free?
Spoiler-free?
It's tough. A lot of good action. It's a very short episode, but really short.
Like, this was like the first one where it got to the end and I was literally said out loud, that's it? Because it kind of ends, where you don't want it to end. And I was like, oh, well, we got like at least 10 more minutes of this, and then it ended. So I think it was the shortest one to date.
It was like the show actually stops entertaining is at 29 minutes.
Yeah. Robert Rodriguez, I think, directed this one.
Yes. Yep.
And, so there was definitely some elements that, I think he did, like, El Mariachi and Desperado or something.
Oh, yeah.
There was some of those elements in this. I guess spoiler-free, two characters return.
Yep.
One of them from season one and one of them from a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Although also in episode one. Really good action.
Really
kind of cliffhanger
action.
Ending. I don't know. It's hard. So hard to talk about these things spoiler free.
Yeah.
Because it's just Mandalorian. It's great. Like, I mean, it's a great episode. You know, like, again, we kind of alluded to, I think, you know, starting with episode 5, this is just going to be one long ride to the end. You know, there's no more side missions. Like, now we're kind of right in the thick of it. And I think the next 2 episodes are going to be fantastic. Like, I can't wait for the last, you know, even the finale, especially, because I think it's going to be really good. What else can I say spoiler free?
I think that's about it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to talk about.
It was only 29 minutes of entertainment. There's not too much you can say.
Yeah.
All right. Let's wrap it up and we'll get right back into it in Kryptonite. Okay. All right. That'll be it. And until next week, you can talk to us on Twitter at brightside_chat, or you can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. Check out us and all of the other great podcasts, like I said, like Bungalow, which is Cullen Bunns, and Nerdy Legion, which we were talking about Martin earlier today. You can check those all out at nerdylegion.com, or you can, you can, and please do, go on iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe. That would help us out a lot. Really appreciate it. So that will do it. If you want to stick around, we're going to talk some more Mandalorian with tons of spoilers after we lock the door. So if not, have a great week. I will see you next week.
Take care, everyone.
That's the jingle bell. That's the jingle bell. That's the jingle bell rock.
Hey, Fred. All right, John, is that door all nice and locked up?
It is locked.
All righty. All right, now, spoilers. What did you want to lead off with?
Well, I mean, Boba Fett, right? Like,
oh, really? Was he in it?
We've kind of known since episode 1 that, you know, Boba Fett was still lurking around in the background. Although, again, there was some speculation on, you know, was it Boba Fett? Was it Jango? You know, who was it?
Well, we know it wasn't Jango. He was dead.
Yeah. Well, you know, so was Darth
True.
Maul. But,
yeah, but Jango lost his head.
Yeah, I know. You can grow back new legs. You can't grow back a new head.
Right.
But, yeah, in any case, you know, we got confirmation that, you know, obviously Boba Fett is back. And back in, you know, kicking butt. Like,
holy cow.
This was kind of like the, like, you know, it had the same feel for me as it, like the Vader scene at the end of Rogue One.
Yes.
You know? Because, you know, everything that that scene did for Vader, this episode did for Boba Fett. Because, you know, Boba Fett has been like kind of like the cosmic joke for the last 40 years. You know, most feared bounty hunter in the galaxy, and he gets done in by a blind guy and a stick. You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, you just never really got to see Boba Fett in action. And like here he is just like kicking butt, you know, like he's got his gaffy stick and he's whacking the crap out of stormtroopers and you know, comes looking for his armor and you know, you see it, like, you know, you
but respectfully.
Respectfully, you're right. Yeah, but like, you know, Mando is like there
shots
on
by
the
his head first, but yeah, then respectfully.
True. But You know, Mando's there and he's, you know, with Boba Fett. I'm not Boba Fett, with Grogu on like the Seeing Stones. And, you know, you're just kind of there watching all that happen. And then, like, you look up in the sky and, like, here comes the Slave One. And you're like, no way.
Yeah, I know.
Because, again, didn't expect that. In this episode or this scene, that was not what I was looking for. Like, I didn't expect that at all.
No, we're looking for what Jedi is going to show up.
Exactly. And it's not, he's not flying the Slave One.
Talk about the shell game, huh? You're like, look over here. And you're like, what's, you know, Baby Yoda, what's Grogu going to do? Right. And how's this going to, what, like, who's going to show up? And speaking of all that, it's like, I'm sure you've heard the rumors of Mace Windu coming back.
Well, I've heard that, but I don't buy that.
You never know. And imagine if he pops back in as the Jedi that shows up. But that's in my mind, you know, like what's going to happen in this episode. And then, like you said, you see Slave One and you're like, are you kidding me? It's like, and you don't know what direction this is going to go in at that point. You're like, is this going to be a peaceful thing? I mean, nothing ever really goes down peacefully with Boba Fett. So
no, but he's a little bit more honorable than you would have been led to believe he would be.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because, yeah, he just wants his armor back, right? Like, he's not really looking to, fight Mando or anything. Like, he's got nothing against him. You know, again, they're both Mandalorian, or at least follow the, you know, the Mandalorian code, you know, this and that. And like I said, he just wants his armor back. You know, he's okay shooting at his head a little bit, but
that was funny.
You know, like you said, respectfully. But what got me was, you know, like they made that bargain, right? Like, look, if you give me the armor back, you know, I'll help you protect the kid or what have you.
Right.
And, you know, when all said and done at the end, you know, he's like, look, you know, we made a deal and, you know, you gave me the armor, so, you know, I've got this debt to you, and I'm going to help you get Grogu, you know, get the kid back. So, like, that's where, like, okay, I didn't expect that from Boba Fett, because, you know, you don't picture him being that way. You know, he's a bounty hunter, right? He's just out for money and this and that. But, you know, he's got his code, and, you know, you still don't know that. Like, I'm not convinced that he's a good guy, necessarily, you know what I mean?
Well, I think he settles his debts, and right now he's honorable. Owes a debt.
Right. He owes a debt, and he's honorable, and he's going to, you know, he's going to do what he can to help. And then, he didn't come alone, which was also cool, because, again, I didn't see the return of
Fennec.
Fennec Shand or Sand, Ming-Na Wen. But I was really happy with that because I like that character. I like her as an actress, so I was really happy to see her back.
It was pretty funny how they brought her in, and like Mando's the one that introduces her. He's like, Fennec, and she's like,
yeah,
great voice, you know, whatever. Like, nice recognition, good ear or whatever. Like,
yeah, good ear or something. Hey, Mando or whatever.
Because if he doesn't do that, we're like, was that? Who was that? You know,
well,
obviously we'd see.
I recognized her voice though. As soon as she spoke, I knew who it was. But yeah, that was cool because, you know, last we saw her, she was dying in the desert, and you know, we find out that, you know, she's kind of got a debt to Boba Fett. That rhymes. because he saved her. You know, basically he found her and saved her. Turned her into a half a robot. But
right. She's got a little bit of Luke's hardware going on there.
Yeah.
I mean, his isn't an arm, but
Right, hers is the gut.
Just unusual.
A little bit more complicated a little more complicated than a hand. But that was... it was cool to see her back. You know, obviously we had Grogu putting his call out. You know, he had Cerebro, and he was, you know, putting his call out to the universe, looking for a Jedi. And, you know, obviously we didn't get one yet in this episode, but you've got to believe that somebody's on their way. And then they're going to get there and find nobody, right? Because everybody's gone.
Yeah.
You know, Grogu... got taken by
Dark Troopers.
Dark Troopers, Moff Gideon.
That was pretty cool.
What I thought was cool about the Dark Troopers was knowing that, you know, Favreau wrote this episode. You know, Favreau likes his Iron Man.
Yeah.
I guess because it kind of reminded me of the scene in Iron Man with all the, you know, all the armor floating. So I thought that was cool. I mean, just like, again, everything's just ramping up, you know, now they're on a mission. He's lost the child, and it's kind of like he's putting his Avengers team together, because, you know, now you've got Mando, who has to fly around with Boba Fett now because his ship got blown up.
Which I think that's what the title is. The title was the tragedy.
I think so too. The tragedy was the ship.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the only thing that survives is the ball, of course, and the Beskar spear.
Yeah. The Razor Crest.
Yeah, that was unexpected.
Like
I wasn't expecting the Razor Crest to be gone, so that was unexpected. But yeah, like I said, he's putting the team together. You've got Mando, you've got Boba Fett and Fennec, but you know, they go and pick up Cara Dune and I have to imagine Apollo Creed. This week they're gonna go get Bill Burr.
His name's what, Miggs Mayfield or something on the show or whatever. But like, yeah.
And I would have to think at this point we probably get Bo-Katan back as well.
You think?
I think so. I don't think we're necessarily going to see Ahsoka again.
Ooh.
But
I don't know.
But I do think we might get Bo-Katan back.
Which could also bring in what's her name?
Sabine. Possibly. Yeah.
That is an Avengers team right there.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. The Empire doesn't stand a chance.
Exactly. I mean, these are like the all-stars, you know. I mean, all you need is Boba Fett, really. Like he could take down two squads of stormtroopers, who by the way still haven't improved their aim at all.
No.
And now
how about take that
even,
hill? They're
not
right
even
there. Take the hill.
They're not even smart enough to get out of the way
of
like a giant boulder that's coming down. Like just like, you know, it was kind of like the beginning scene of Raiders of the Lost Ark. Like nobody decided to get out of the way. Like even the stormtrooper on like the laser cannon just like stands there watching it. I thought at first at least he was trying to like blow it to pieces.
Right, he was.
Like he didn't even do that. Like he just literally stood there and waited to get run over.
It's like being hit by a train. Step to the side. It can't swerve.
Right. It's like it's on a track. It's good. It's going one way. A body in motion stays.
Hey,
in motion.
Look at you. You learned something.
You know.
That's. I thought that was hysterical. I thought.
Yeah. I mean, it was the comic. You know, because you know, there's always a bit of comedy in Star Wars.
Did you hear the Wilhelm scream?
Oh yeah. I hear it everywhere now because it's my text. It's my text tone. But what I'm saying, my ears now are so used to listening to it that it really pops out when I hear it in, you know, in any movie or show now.
Yeah.
I don't know what else happened. I mean,
well, get back to that trooper, the stormtroopers. That like there were some good scenes there, like. That pulled away shot where they were kind of walking up the hill and there were like probably 6 or 8 of them. So that looked really cool. And it was kind of funny seeing them being like picked off one by one because they just walk.
Yeah.
I mean, that's their job. Just be out in the open and be, you know, cannon fodder.
Well, that's what
fodder.
You do, right? Like it's like when you're storming the beach, like the beginning of Saving Private Ryan.
That's
I thought you just keep throwing. Yeah, you just keep throwing bodies against the rocks and, you know. Some of them make it, and that's kind of like what this was. Like, they just keep going.
Right.
And, you know, you're watching the guy in front of you get picked off, but you just keep going because eventually one of you is going to get there, and that's, you know, that's kind of what you're trying to do. So
the one thing that I thought was funny is on the other side is when Fennec had the shot on the guy with the big gun.
Right.
And I mean, you saw through the scope, she's looking right at the guy. And then she's like, oh, as he swings the gun to aim to her, she's like, oh, I got to get out of the way. And both Joe and I went, it would have been quicker to pull the trigger. like all you got to do is pull the trigger. You would have taken her out.
Yeah, kind of the same thing. Like when Boba Fett and Mando were kind of first making their deal together, Fett makes him take off his rocket, you know, his backpack and put it down on the ground. And then, like, a little bit later on in the episode, when they realize that somebody's after the kid and they need to run up the mountain to get him, it's like Mando just, like, starts running towards the mountain and up the mountain to save the kid. It's like, wouldn't it be quicker to like pick up your backpack on the way
pack.
And fly to the top of the mountain?
I didn't understand that, to be honest with you.
I didn't either, because honestly, it's like, why do I need to put this down? I can't shoot you with it.
I did not understand that part.
Yeah, I didn't either, but I was thinking, like, wouldn't it be quicker to grab that on the way and fly to the top of the mountain? Because conveniently, like, nobody could get to the kid until the second that the Dark Troopers show up, and then he falls asleep,
right.
And the force field goes down. But,
well, I think the force field...
I was like, I don't know why you're not flying up there.
Let's talk about that for a second. I think the force field going down was either, A, he was tired, so he couldn't participate anymore.
Right. Like, yeah,
and
he,
then it comes down,
he gets tired.
Comes to and passes right. out. Or
right.
he did communicate with somebody, and somebody's on their way. Kind of like you're hanging up the call. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it could have kind of, that's kind of what I thought originally, but then later on in the episode, they kind of double down on the fact that once he's used the force for a little while, he tires himself out and falls asleep. And so then I kind of figured that's what happened. Because actually, you know, it was awesome. Like, he was whipping around stormtroopers like ragdolls.
That was pretty funny.
in that cell. And then just falls asleep. So that was pretty cool.
He is really like a child in that way. It's like Ahsoka said that that's kind of like the dark side. But is it really? It's kind of just being immature. You know, it's an immature
little
kid.
Well, it is, but
kid.
he's also force choking dudes. And like, you don't see any Jedis force choking anybody.
Yeah, but do you see any Jedi that are infants?
Ever.
You know what I mean?
No.
So it's an immaturity in that. The dark side is when you become mature enough to control these things and you go to the dark side. I just think he has these powers and he's like a little kid with a stick. You just start whacking stuff with it. You know, it's like the pet dog comes by, you whack it. And no, you got to be taught. You don't do that. So I don't know, but like what he was doing with those troopers was kind of like what a little kid would do. Like, hey, look what I can do! Ah, bang!
Right.
It was pretty cool bringing out the Darksaber, though. That was
yes.
And hey, careful, you put an eye out with that, at least.
Yeah. Well, and I have to imagine sometime in the next two episodes we're gonna see the Darksaber crossing swords with the Beskar. Spear, which is going to be pretty cool.
I can't believe it's only two left.
I know.
It's a good time, though.
And hopefully they're longer than 30 minutes.
Yeah, maybe an hour each. 50, 45?
That'd be nice. 45? I'd be happy just to get like the 42 or 43 minutes that we normally
We'll see as this podcast comes out. We'll see tomorrow morning. Well, I'll see tomorrow morning. Yeah. I don't know when.
You'll see out. I'll see it Friday night, usually. I watch them Friday evenings. I'm definitely going to have to stay away from all social media all day Friday, though, because I'm sure there's going to be spoilers.
Shouldn't be hard for you. You're not big into social media.
I'm not really, but I do scroll Facebook quite a bit more than any of the other ones. I don't do Twitter as much, but that's not really where I see the spoilers. It's usually all on Facebook because it's CBR going – fans are going crazy about this week's Mandalorian, you know? It's like, no, they're not.
Exactly.
Everybody's freaking out about this.
Yeah, because you're ruining it.
It's like, spoilers inside, but here's a picture of exactly what happened. So I can't scroll past that. I kind of need to stay away from that all day.
It's kind of like you and The Undoing.
I know, I ruined it.
That was great. But, all right, is that it? I think next week's going to be a big one. So.
Probably a lot of Mando talk.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely. Wonder if it'll make the title. I think the finale will. Don't you?
Yeah, I would imagine so.
What do we got any big books? We don't even have any big books coming out next week. You had one.
Not really. No, just The Expanse, number one. That's like the only new book. Everything, you know, like I think Dark Knight's Death Metal number six comes out. Like there's some books that are coming, but the only number one is The Expanse, which I'm looking forward to because I like the show. But yeah, it's not going to be a huge week.
Lots of Mando talk week, then.
I think.
Sounds good.
Yep.
All right. That it? That is it. Take it easy.
All right. Take care.